We're here in New York with Dan Kennedy from Great River Electronics to talk about his MP2NV preamp. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about the MP2NV. What was the inspiration for it? And
wanted a product to go with the original preamps, which cover the clean basis. Wanted something with a little coloration, controllable sounds.
Oh, okay.
So we started with a classic design, which was the 1073 from Neve, 70s in England. We took what was a pretty cumbersome design to build, a lot of hand labor, a lot of wiring, very expensive switches, and a lot of parts that were real old and falling apart. Put it into modern manufacturing methods with parts that are available today and improve the performance of the product overall.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. It's a three-stage amplifier with selectable attenuation in various parts of the circuit so each section doesn't see an overload at the various gain settings. The switch operates right after the transformer to attenuate the signal to the first amplifier. It switches one of the amplifiers in or out of the circuit depending on the gain setting. And then it feeds the continuous control, which gives you fine-tuning of the volume out and then to the output amplifier.
Okay. That was the 1073 was a two-stage, wasn't it?
No,
was
it? It was three-stage.
Oh, it was three. Okay.
1272 was a two-stage.
Okay, and had 40 dB first, and then an additional, then it kicked in?
Yeah, and actually the 1272 was sort of a fixed gain, and that was selectable by the application. It never really was intended as a mic amp, other than occasionally it had the gain stretched to be used as a talkback amplifier.
Oh, okay.
Primarily, it was just a system amplifier block used as mixing amplifiers or any place that makeup gain needed to be used in a console system.
So, now, is this transformer in and out?
Yes.
It is, okay.
With a split primary input transformer that allows to be wired either as a 1200 ohm or a 300 ohm.
Oh, okay.
To match
and that is?
That would be the impedance switch.
Okay.
And that operates a little sealed relay that just reconfigures the input stage.
Okay.
And then the output transformer also has basically a termination resistor on it to maintain the proper output impedance.
Okay. So, obviously, this would just have an effect for different microphones, depending on the type of microphone.
Right, but it actually also affects the sound of the direct inject input, because it feeds the primary of the transformer.
Oh, okay. And then the loading, is that purely functional, or will that have an effect on the sound as well?
It affects the sound.
Okay.
The transformer has a moderate ringing response up about 60 kilohertz when it's unterminated.
Oh.
About a 5 dB peak at 60 kilohertz, and that slopes back down into the audio band, so it's up about 1 dB at 20K.
Oh, interesting.
So you can hear it. It's like a little bit of a light little high frequency lift.
Interesting.
But it also changes the distortion response to the amplifier.
Oh, okay.
So you get a little bit brighter, a little bit grittier sound with it unterminated. And then terminated, and the response is flat, and everything pulls back together smooth.
Very cool.
It can be an interesting little effect.
The other tonal variation, and in addition to these, you've got input gain and output gain. And I know one of the tricks that I've heard of other people doing that I've talked to other people about is really driving the front end hard and turning the output down, or vice versa, depending on. So what are the things you gain with that?
Well, if you drive the input hard, you start seeing, first of all, saturation of the transformer, which lends itself an interesting character to the sound.
Okay.
The amplifiers themselves start getting a little bit nonlinear in a second-order sort of way, so they add some harmonics to the signal that are typically musically pleasing.
Okay.
And if you stretch it the other way so that you run the gain up high, which means basically that you're not driving as much signal and you're just using the gain, and then turn the output down, all of the amplifiers just tend to run cleaner and just a smoother, more accurate sound. Ultimately, the amplifiers in here are very good as long as you're not pushing them real hard.
Okay.
But they sound good when you push them to it.
Okay.
In a different way.
What is some of the feedback you're getting from customers as far as what this sounds good? I mean, what are some of the favorite applications?
Well, I think
I know, I've heard it.
Embarrassingly often I hear it's the world's best guitar preamplifier.
I get back. I was about to interject that I have a guitar player that I work with all the time in Nashville, and we'll use either the console preamps or one of the preamps in the rack or one of my preamps. And one time I had an MV and plugged it into that. I mean, he just had on his cans, and we were running it down, and he strummed the guitar and strummed it again, and he looked at it and said, "What's different?" Because it was a studio we work at all the time. He said, "What happened to the guitar sound? Because it seems, is it like the same mics?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "What else are you doing to it?" I said, "Well, it's a different preamp." And so he set his guitar down and ran into the control room. I was like, What? Show me. Quick, what is it?
I've heard variations on that story from lots of places.
That's great.
Works with 57s, works with the Royers, works with other pretty commonly used guitar mics. It just adds another dimension to it.
Excellent. I haven't had the chance to use it with ribbons yet. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it works well on both loud sources and quiet sources because there's a lot of gain.
How much gain is it?
70 dB overall.
Oh, wow. So, that is good.
It's not the world's quietest preamp, but it's adequately quiet for everything I run into.
Okay.
The old model is a little bit quieter.
Yeah, but when you talk about quiet, you're talking about
theoretical
the difference
levels.
Between ultra-quiet and just quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used it. I've never thought of it as being a non-quiet preamp at all.
It's degrees, and it's pursuing it to a technical end, I guess.
To the nth degree, yeah. Very good.
It also finds a lot of applications on drums, where the saturation and the coloration provided by the transformer and the amplifiers really does work.
Oh, for like kick and snare, for
yeah.
Overheads?
Good.
Not as much overheads.
Interesting.
I mean, it sounds good for that, but primary applications are the kick and snare. Like any other preamp, it works great on most things, and it works really, really great on some things.
Yeah, that's great. Well, do you want to mention this baby? I know this is your newest one that's been a while coming.
Well, when we started on the project of this, obviously the 1073 channel amplifier was the inspiration, but the big thing we left out was the equalizer.
Oh, okay.
And that's because of the complicated parts of a 1073. It's the most complicated.
Okay.
And we
should mention what this is. They can't see it. The EQ2NV, it's Dan's newest equalizer. Or actually, the first equalizer he's done.
Yeah. It's based on another part of the Neve family, actually. We wanted expanded control of the 1081, 1084 series of EQ, which are four-band.
Right.
As opposed to the 1073, which is a pre-band.
Right.
So we use the basic topology of those, which are pretty functionally similar with some different frequency selections, but the basic layout of four bands is the same.
Okay.
Then we designed a new amplifier for it that is radically different than what was used in those, because I really wanted a better signal handling capability. So the dynamic range is up by about 8 or 10 dB better than what it was in the original modules.
Wow.
Which means that you can run the signal hotter through it, have the same dynamic range, but get a lot more of the saturation of the inductors, which is also an interesting sound.
Oh, okay.
So the amplifiers will run a lot hotter, and it just means you can run a lot more signal into it.
That's great.
But they're also very, very quiet, so at nominal levels, it functions the same.
Well, I noticed yesterday that I could go, these are plus and minus 15, which is a lot of EQ. And I noticed up here on the top that I could just run it all the way open, and it still sounded great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How did you decide on the frequency selections?
It's the way they did it.
Now, is it, well, obviously it's not the same, because those are typically fairly limited. Like on the low band, weren't there, how many frequencies?
Five or six. I took what they did and then expanded it on each end to give a little bit overlap, a little more overlap on it.
I thought it looked like it was more versatile than those were.
But not hugely so. I mean, like
right.
One extra step on each end.
Got it. Well, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks for telling us about it. That's it. That'll wrap it up.